Good afternoon, students, and welcome to Ever Increasing Word Training Center. We're so excited we're back with you, and I'm excited with the teaching and the training that we're receiving from our apostle. It's just off the chain. And I know the impartation that's coming up on your life is life-changing, because we're going from faith to faith, glory to glory, and victory to victory. And even as an instructor, even as I teach the word, on culture of honor, the revelation is constantly being fresh, a rhema word, and stirring my heart more and more concerning developing and cultivating the fivefold ministry in each ministry. I believe strongly that these five offices or five graces should be in every individual church, so that you as the sons and daughters of God may be fully equipped. And this is what it's about, fully equipping every child of God for the work of ministry. And God wants to use you in such a mighty way. Whether he called you to pulpit ministry, whether he used you in evangelism, or as a teacher, instructor, whether it's in a prison ministry, a nursing home ministry, wherever God chooses and calls you to, by having this equipping impartation, you're going to be able to discern in any situation what gifts are operating or what gifts need to be operating, to discern the time, the season, and the moment that you're in. This is why it's so vital that every child of God train himself in the Word of God. Become trained in the Word of God. You know, Paul told Timothy as a young student and a young pastor to always study to show yourself approval of a work that need not to be ashamed, but rightfully dividing the Word of truth. This is so vital for every Christian to learn of God, the way he thinks, the way he wants us to operate. And when we understand the ways as well as the actions of God, man, we're in position. We're in position to see the power of God move like never before. So this is what we're equipping you for. So let's get ready. Let's get right into our next lesson as we teach you upon the apostolic, understanding the apostolic. We talked about the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor and teacher, and also the ministerial help gifts that are in the body of Christ. It's ministry gifts of administration, praise and worship team, our ushers, those who work in various other capacities outside of the fivefold callings. These gifts in the body are vital and necessary, so that when people enter into your congregation, it's church unusual. It's not the same mundane religious cycle from Sunday after Sunday, but you're moving into a realm of supernatural visitations, movements of the Holy Spirit. Heaven on earth is happening in your local church, and we're excited about it. On page 59, closing the second to the last paragraph, I want you to know the very first thing we talk about is our first question. They may not be in this divine orders. I give them to you 1, 2, 3, 4. But the idea is you will know the questions and the answer. Matter of fact, you'll know the answer. The question may sound a little different, but you have the answer to the question. This is what it says here. It says God's household literally rests on the foundation of our leadership of the apostle and prophets. Now, Paul says to the apostles that that we are founded upon the teachings of the apostles and the prophets. And so therefore, Jesus Christ, who is the chief apostle. So when we deviate from the divine order or model that is the original thought and plan of God to develop a worldly, ungodly system, and then to bring that system as a pattern to the church, and it's saying that the church should operate like this, then we are missing heaven's structure and we're developing an earth structure. What also has to be realized is the world is patterning after the church, not the church after the world. The reason why they have these different governments and these different offices is because they know that the church, which is the foundation, has different offices and structures in which and layers by which it's prioritized and is built upon. So they pattern after the church. But because we remove the apostles and prophets' office and primarily focused upon the pastoral and the evangel office in administration, we begin to miss the heaven to earth structure or government, and we stop seeing what heaven was doing, what heaven had ordained. Remember, the apostles and the prophets are the eyes to the church. They're the ears to the church. They have the insight of what goes on in the heavenlies, where God says, I will do nothing in the earth without first revealing it to my apostles. So God always speaks to the apostles and prophets before he releases any operation to the church or the body of Christ. This is why they are so vital. And this is why for years and years, the church have gone into the circle in repetition without a fresh rhema or a fresh movement or revival, is because it does not. It has removed the eyes of the apostles and the prophets. We need the prophets. We need the apostles in order for us to have heaven on earth. This transition and transaction need to be constantly refreshed in our church, that we come to ministry and we don't know what's going to happen, but we know God is going to show up. We know God is going to show up. There's a rhema in the service. Why? Because we have the fivefold gifts operating in our ministries. All five operate in our ministry, and they speak in one accord, and they speak in agreement with each other, so there's always a confirmation behind everything spoken. There's always a demonstration and a manifestation behind the gospel that is preached in your local church when these gifts are operating as one. So understand, let's stay clear, that number one, that the very foundation of the household of God literally rests upon the apostles and the prophets. The apostles and the prophets. It says, this design allowed the body of Christ to be built up into a holy temple and ultimately to become a dwelling place of God. Isn't this what we desire? That God would dwell among us. God would speak and move among us. And in order for that to happen, there has to be divine order. The original mind of God has not changed concerning the church, the body of Christ. And I know there are teachings that the apostles are no more. All of the apostles died out in Revelation. You know, the original, yes, I will agree, the original 12 has gone on. But the Bible says there are those who are not among you. I have other foes that is not among you. So God has always had other apostles and prophets outside the 12. Get an Acts of the Apostle, and you'll find that Paul talks about when in Antioch, when the church first announced the word Christianity being Christ-like in the church of Antioch, the Bible talks about how Paul and Peter and them went down among the other prophets and the apostles. So there were always other apostles and prophets, just not the 12. The 12 walked with Jesus. These are the men who are the pillars who Jesus himself taught and trained. Remember, John had disciples, even those who followed him, John the Baptist. So it's the religious cycle of denominationalism that men have stepped in and tried to structure or restructure the plan of God. And that's why we're so off balance, and that's why we have an ineffectiveness in the body of Christ to win the world to Christ. Because we have a dysfunctioning or order where we remove the ears and the eyes of the church, which is the apostles and prophets. Until the body of Christ begin to recognize the original structure and accept the apostles and prophets gift back into leadership and headship and lined up in covenant and agreement, we will always have this place of ineffectiveness. Will the world look at us as being unorganized, ineffective, can't heal cancer, can't heal nothing, because there is no power because of disorder? God is a God of order. Paul said in Corinthians, he said, all things be done decent and in order. God always work with order. Always have, always will, not with chaos and disorder. So remember that as you go forth in your personal life as well as in ministry, God always operates in divine order, prioritizing the rankings, wherever they be, husband, wife, children, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastor, teachers. There's always an order to the things of God. And when things are in order, we develop the spirit of peace. The spirit of rest is among us. Listen what he goes on to say. He says here, as I've been hinting, the critical flaw I see in the American design for church structure and government, though it's not limited to America, means it is around the world and other countries, is disorder. Wow, it's disorder. Whenever there's disorder, you have confusion, you have unrest, you have chaos, you have human struggle, because there is disorder. Everybody want to lead, nobody want to follow. Submission to authority is important. That's why we learned in chapter 1 and also in our introduction about learning how to embrace and recognize the titles and honor those titles so that the grace that's on the office of the men and women of God that God has put on them can come upon you. There can always be an importation, there always can be a release to you when we respect the order in the people who God has put in position. This is important in order for the continuous flowing of the anointing in the presence of God. In the presence of God. When a husband and wife come to agreement, and the children are in alignment in the household, when order is there, peace, rest, prosperity, joy is going to be in that house. Because everyone understands his or her place in the relationship and their responsibility. They respect and honor each other. Remember, the anointing flows, the grace of God, the presence of God flows through honor. In the culture of honor. That's where it flows. Let's go further. Let's see what it says here. Meaning that the roles and relationships of leaders are out of order according to Scripture. The foundation and leadership of most churches today consists of pastors, teachers, and administrations. And that's how most churches operate, without the gifts, not realizing that they are missing the apostles and prophets' importation, and their people are not being fully equipped or developed. They're receiving a pastoral, a shepherding, a nurturing, stand together type of anointing, which is necessary because that's what pastors do. But you're not hearing the rhema move of the Spirit and what heaven is saying and what God is speaking now, because they do not accept or have received or allow men and women who have the callings and gifts on their lives to come into their ministries and minister the missing pieces, the missing anointing. If you're a pastor and you love people and you're shepherding your people, and the gift and calling of the apostle and prophet is not on your life, then I behold you to connect with a man of God by the leader of the Spirit. Pray about it. The leader of the Spirit to connect you with a prophet or an apostle. Well, you first can be trained and submitted to that apostle, hear his spirit, hear his heart, so you can bring him among your congregation to speak in your congregation. So that your ministry become apostolic under the grace of the apostle. And this is one way of equipping your church when you don't have the gifts or callings on your life as a pastor yourself. You don't have to have all the gifts if you can connect to the gifts and have a relationship with them. Okay, so let's go further and see here on page 60. He says, we have empowered the wrong portion of the list in 1 Corinthians 12 to be the primary leaders. We'll tuck those in the middle of the bottom and put them on top and just erase the apostles and prophets. The wrong order. And if you're in the wrong order, you can't get the right results. Simple and plain. And the reason behind this decision is not spiritual, but earthly. James chapter 3, verse 13 and verse 18 warns us against this practice of pulling earthly wisdom into our lives. And pulling earthly wisdom into our lives can be very dangerous. Taking the world's principles and trying to work them in the church. They have no blood on it. They have no blood on those principles. The blood of Christ has not ordained, sanctioned, or sanctified those principles to operate in church. This is why so many churches look so much like the world system, is because they have adopted to the ways of the church to entertain or to cause large crowds to come among them. And whatever it takes to get people in, you got to continue to do that and keep them in. Because that's what you're feeding them. The scripture clear in James 3, 13 through 18, and we're going to move to question number two following this. It says, who among you is wise and understanding? Let him show by his good behavior his deeds in the gentleness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambitions in your heart, do not be arrogant. Say, do not be arrogant and so lie against the truth. This wisdom is not that which comes down from above, but is earthly, natural, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambitions exist, there is disorder in every evil thing. Why? This is why God's presence cannot dwell in houses who operate in world principles. The world's principles. It causes chaos, confusion, division. Choirs arguing with the ushers, ushers arguing with the deacons, and you got all this chaos that goes on in ministry because everybody trying to lead and say what we're supposed to do, and nobody listening to the pastor or the leader because they're trying to tell him what to preach and what to do. And so that's just chaos, disorder, and we can't have growth, we can't have increase, and God would not send sheep into streams that are frustrated, that are running fast with confusion, to wound people who are babies in Christ Jesus. Babies in Christ need to come by still water into green pastures where there's order, where there's peace, where there's joy, where there's forgiveness, where the Holy Spirit is moving, where there's gentleness. They need to come in to be nourished and mentored, to grow to become strong and understand the same anointing, the same grace it takes to their home so he can be the husband of one wife and live according to that. And she as the wife can flow with her husband because they're walking up under this grace of love, this grace of forgiveness, this grace of joy. They have the same agenda. They're not fighting each other. And most of these people who go to these confusing churches without this order, they're fighting in their marriages. Why? They have taken on the same spirit. Well, what's happening in that congregation? They take on the same spirit. That's why you have to be careful who you connect to, because you take upon that grace. That spirit comes upon your life. So you have to be mindful of who and what you're connecting to in the gifts of the spirit, or the satanic forces were locked in on your life and operate looking like you're saved and you're not. You're not in the will of God. Number two, when heaven is the model for our culture, the primary result is peace. When heaven is the primary model for our churches, the primary result is peace. That is key. That is key. That's why we need the apostles. We need a model out there, apostolic, so that we can have the heart of God, what God is speaking, what God is causing to be right now in our life. What God is saying right now, he wants done in the world. What do you want the church to be actively doing? I don't mind being busy and have an active church, but we need to be effective. And whatever we're doing, just not programs, but we need to be effective in ministering to the needs of people and to the kingdom agenda of the kingdom. That's what we need to be effective doing in the body of Christ. In the body of Christ. So we need to be able to see and understand what God is saying, what God is speaking in the body of Christ. He says here again, number two, when heaven is the model of our culture, the primary result is peace. The primary result is peace. And this is what it takes to minister for sheep to continue to grow and to mature. It has to be an environment of peace. It has to be an environment of peace. So keep that in mind. Keep that focus as we go forward. He says here that peace is the goal of heaven because it is the primary quality of the government of God. Peace is the goal of heaven because it is the primary quality of the government of God. Peace. He's Jehovah Shalom. He's our peace. He is our peace. So wherever God is, all that he is present. He's the God of peace, not a confusion. The Bible says he's the author of peace and not a confusion. So we have to understand that all that we're about in ministering the word of God is to bring peace, not only in the congregation, but in the hearts of men. When your heart has God as your primary source, God is your focus. God is your God. He's your heavenly Father. Peace will abide within you. And everywhere you go, you carry the atmosphere of peace. The atmosphere of rest is on your life because of Jehovah Shalom. The God of peace is on your life. He said, but this order forms of government to which we're all become accustomed create not peace but control. Not peace but control, which is their intended goal. Man has the opposite goal of heaven. Earth's leadership structure is motivated by the desire to protect the rule of those in office. When we primarily structure the environment of God's house to protect the will of the people, we'll step off the path of the wisdom from above. Now, that's number three. I'm going to go back and pick that up for you, but it's number three. It says, when we primarily structure the environment of God's house to protect the will of the people, we'll step off the path of the wisdom from above. See, the apostolic and the prophetic really doesn't care nothing about the will of the people. It's focused on the will of God. It's men lining up to God and not God lining up to men. It's God's rule reigning in our life as the primary foundation of all that we do, all that we have, how we behave. All of that is based upon the foundation, Jesus Christ, who is our chief apostle. It's heaven to earth, not earth to heaven. Not men telling God what he's going to do, but God telling men what they're supposed to do. Yet with the freedom of choice. Here's the thing about God. God do not force his will on us. When government structure is designed to control, and we only can control what we empower or force men to do. We're going to learn further in our lesson that the hardest people to lead is free people. God chosen to create man in his image and his likeness, and yet give him a free will of choice, that he can choose to disobey his creator. He can choose, you and I can choose to totally dismiss God out of our mind and say, there is no God, God doesn't exist, God is not real, blah, 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 in light of all the other reasons why men don't want to, in the world, do not want to receive Christ and accept him as Lord and Jesus Christ as God, the only true living God. We can go through all those reasoning, and God says, okay, I gave you that choice. I gave you the free will to choose. But human government is designed to control and protect those in office. And we see that constantly on our news stations about the government of the United States and the chaos that's in the government, because everybody's trying to protect their office. They ain't thinking about you so much. They're thinking about their office. And they're making rules and orders and changes to protect their office, their own personal interests. When God is just the opposite, God is not trying to protect his interests because he's God. He's God all by himself. We can't change it. We can't harm him. But he set up rules and regulations so that you and I can flourish in peace and in joy and righteousness, so that we can have a long, satisfied life and walk in divine health all the days of our life. That's why God set it up. But we can choose the chaos. We can choose the chaos, totally separated from God. And God said, okay, I created you like that. You made your choice. Go down the road, and wherever this road ends, you give the consequences of your choice. See, that's power without control. That's authority without control, because God is not inferior to us. God knows who he is. He's our creator. And so we need him. He really don't need us. When it really comes down to it, God really don't need us to be God. So we have to understand why there's a heaven to earth government in the kingdom. The kingdom, the church, is the body of Christ. It's his bride. And so therefore, he has every right to govern and protect and order the rule of the house. Order the rule of the house. Okay, let me get to number three and number four. Again, number three is said when we primarily structure the environment of God's house to protect the will of the people, we step off the path of the wisdom from above. He makes the next statement in this next paragraph. He says, to see the seriousness of doing things according to human reasoning rather than heaven's, we need only to remember one of the strongest rebuke in the gospel, in the gospels, the rebuke Jesus gave to his good friend Peter. If you recall, Peter tried to talk Jesus out of going to die on the cross. Peter wanted to protect what he could see was a good thing. His primary concern and motivation was to keep the current benefit flowing to earth. Keep the current benefit flowing to earth. Jesus turned to him and said, get behind me, Satan. You do not have the mind. You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men. It was not one of Peter's finest moments, but it is a clear word to all of us watching. Heaven is the model, not earth. That's pretty clear. Heaven is the model and not earth. The church is the body of Christ. God has designed it. He has signed up. He's the Lord of the kingdom. He's the king of the kingdom. And so therefore, his rule reigns in the kingdom. So when we're born again and we come into the kingdom of God, the rules are already set. They're set. They're signed already. And we do not have the authority or the power to come in with our religious ideals and adjust God's program. But that's what we have done through religion, denominationalism. We've come in to adjust the program of God where it fits and protect us so that we are comfortable and God is no longer Lord. We want to do what we want to do, set it up the way we want to set it up, and therefore we're losing the power in the presence of God because we've gotten rid of the order of God. That's why the apostles and prophets have been so far pushed away from the body of Christ, because men want to do their own thing in their office and esteem themselves instead of esteeming the will of, and the power of God in the presence, sustaining the presence of God in the local church. Every Sunday, God's presence should be among us, as it is every day as we walk in our homes, on the street. The presence of God is with us. That same presence is supposed to be in a congregation when the saints come together in power and authority, with signs, wonders, and miracles flow, with a prophetic rhema word flow through the prophet, through the apostle freely. And the graces upon the pastors can flow freely. Why? Because everything is in divine order, everything is in place. In divine order and in place. Let's go to number four so we can stay focused. He says here in the second paragraph on page 61, when Jesus taught the disciples to pray, he brought a key phrase into their core value. He told them to pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. His instruction taught them to long for heaven on earth. I believe this core value is the primary objective of the apostles' ministry. Heaven to earth. Pray that God's will that is in heaven be done in earth. We pray it, but a lot of times we don't really understand the essence of what we're praying because we don't have the revelation that God's presence and God's power and God's kingdom agenda flows to the apostles and the prophets. As well as the pastor, teacher, and evangelist, it flows through the apostles. With them not being in position or in office, we are missing vital importation, vital release for our own personal life as well as for the congregation. When God wants to do something, even in the world, he always speaks to the apostles and the prophets to proclaim and to declare it first before he manifests. Why? He wants, and he wants men to repent of their sins and come in divine order, because God has no pleasure. He has no pleasure in destroying men. That's not his will. He's the God of peace. He's the God of life. And men are destroyed because we have moved the apostles and prophets. We don't have a rhema word. We have nobody to sound a trumpet to warn us that God is about to do something in the earth, or even in the church. Because the eyes and the ears of the apostles have been removed. But thank God for Apostle Thompson and other men like him who is in this end time, who are rising up, declaring what God is saying, taking their rightful place to declare to the earth what God is decreed and God has declared. You and I are in a powerful time in the earth. We're in a powerful time in the earth where we're seeing the unfolding of the end time. God, Christ, soon to come and return. And we're seeing this power being released, restored, refreshed in the earth realm. And we're a part of it. Listen what it says here, number four. Our apostolic leaders are focused on heaven, and their mission is to see heaven's supernatural reality established on the earth. That's number four. So make a note of it. The apostles are focused on the heaven so they can see the supernatural reality of heaven being manifested on the earth. The will of God. The will of God taking place in the earth. That's what they're focused on. So sometimes when we think about what we feel, what we would like to see done in the church and whatever all the programs are, they may be good, but are they effective? And are they the will of God? Is that something God says for you to be doing? Pastors always trying to keep the church together, keep people in the huddle, make sure everybody's safe, everybody doing well, everybody marriage okay. And because we, as pastors, focus on the holistic health of the local congregation, we produce programs to try to help that to function, to empower people to understand the will of heaven. That's what we do. But that comes a time when the apostolic has to come in and the prophetic has to come in and strip us of our manly agendas and programs and says, this is what thus says the Lord. This is the will of God. And this is what you and I need to be about doing our Father's business. Those are the type of things we need to understand. So as we embrace the apostolic, the prophetic, the pastoral, the evangelist and teachers, giftings and callings, I want you to put your prayer life in. Put your meditation time in. And ask God to help you to make the transition from a religious mindset to an apostolic heaven to earth government. And run your household like God run the church. Until next time, be blessed.